Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. This is Dave. I am excited about doing this seminar series with you on writing your first book. Just a couple of things. First, welcome to authoring your first book. I'm Dave Kruger. In the four seminars, we're going to discuss the art, craft, science, and business of telling and selling your story. If you haven't already, I'd suggest that you download the outline with workbook exercises for each of the seminars at the site you were directed to. That's also going to be the site where the online playback will be located for you to review anything and those of you who have scheduled glitches. I want to ask if you would manage the background noise. There may be things like just then that your microphone picked up that you are not aware of. I'd like to keep an open line in the beginning and at the end for discussion. So I'd like to keep it open if you'll manage background noise. That may mean if you don't have a headset, a star six for mute, and then again a star six when you want to talk. The additional thing I want to mention before opening it up, the three questions I asked, what would you most like to accomplish in this seminar series? I'd like you to think about that, and I'd like you to email me, and thanks for those of you who have already emailed me about that. Secondly, if in 4 weeks this were a remarkably successful seminar series for you, what would you take away from our time together? And then I also wanted you to think about, just to reflect on, what is your story, the story you're telling yourself about your book? Is it an internal bargaining, like, well, I'm going to start in the fall when I have more time? Is it a delay, like, I'm going to do it after I get my practice full? Or is it conditional, well, when I have more to say? So, again, I want you to manage the background noise for me to keep this open. Anything you do, any movement you make will be picked up. I'd like to keep this open for discussion. So I'd like to hear from you, your thoughts, and any responses to any of those questions that you have. If you'd identify yourself with your name and maybe your location, and then any responses or thoughts you have. I know there are a bunch of you there. Where I am right now, I happen to be traveling. I'm in D.C. In a suite in a hotel, so I don't have my dashboard. But I know my spy told me that there are a number of you on the line. So I'm really ready to hear from you. What are your thoughts, your responses to any of those questions?
Dave, this is Kip.
Welcome, Kip. Thank you. I was beginning to feel lonely there, my man. Go ahead.
Well, I'm here, and I would like, I'm very interested in being able to articulate, express, and translate to myself and to anybody else what my story is regarding coaching and transformation. I'd really like to have a very clear idea of that at the end.
Okay, and you want to have that so that you can write about it and convey it to others?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's super. I appreciate that, and I have that down to you. Who else?
Hi, Dave. This is Sue Abramson calling. Or talking.
Welcome.
Hey. Hi.
Great to hear from you. Go ahead.
I am so excited to listen to this, to be part of this, so thanks so much for doing it. You won't be surprised at this, but I'm looking for a system, a structure to think about what I want to say and how to say it. So that's really what I'm hoping to get out of this, is to know what questions I want to ask and how to best frame those questions.
Okay. I don't think you'll be disappointed. We're going to address that in a number of different ways. So, yes, thank you for mentioning
great.
That.
I also want to mention to you that the online outline workbook is not accessible through the link that you had included. So it keeps saying it's not working. So I'm able to get to the site,
here's the address to write to the IT guy, Bill. Just write to him, Bill, B-I-L-L, at CoachTrainingAlliance.com, and tell him what's going on, and he'll help you get it downloaded. It may be something specific with your computer. It may be the site. He'll help you, though. And this is for anyone. Any kind of technical glitches. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on mute. Thank
you.
I mean, be on mute.
Thank you very much. Who else?
Hi, Dave. It's Paulette Terry. I'm in San Francisco.
Welcome, Paulette. Go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you. Regarding your first question, I think I would most like assistance in kind of whittling down what would be the best thing for me to write about. My head is swirling with several ideas, and I need to obviously seek a little clarity there in order to begin. So I'm looking for that phase of what we're going to be doing. Okay?
Okay. You want to go ahead? Would you like to know the secret right now?
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you right up front. Write about what you most want to learn. Every book I've done, every article, every white paper, every scientific and other paper I've done, I've written about what I most wanted to learn because I win that way. I get to do my continuing education. It's my passion. It's my creative fun and pleasure. I learn that way. And then I find a way to convey it to other people so that they will benefit and there's exponential benefit from what I most want to learn. And if we have time, I'll tell you a story about how one of my first books got started that way back. But that's really one way to think about it. And I'll elaborate more about that as we get into that component of one seminar. But I wanted to give you that idea just to think about while we're talking about other things, okay?
Okay, got it. Thank you so
much.
Okay.
I would say the same for a blog. You know, who do you want to address? What do you want to say? But what do you most want to learn about for those who you want to address?
Okay.
So super.
Thank
other thoughts or questions? Any one of the three questions. And I appreciate Casey's response to the third question about what is your assumption, what is your belief about writing a book? And she said, it's a mysterious process that will never be revealed to me. So I'm going to say to Casey, hang on for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and it will be revealed, I promise you. So
thank you. This is Casey.
Yes.
I just was thinking I was going to jump in with that because it's almost like if somebody doesn't pick up the phone and say, okay, write a book for us, I have no idea how that actually happens.
Okay. Well, this way you get to ask the question and decide yourself instead of being reactive to someone else. You get to be proactive and decide based on your passion, your interest, and what you want to learn. So there is a way to deal with it. And I appreciate you saying that and saying it so explicitly because it is a process and there's nothing magic about it. And we're going to be talking about that. So thanks for mentioning that. Are there any other beliefs or assumptions that any of you share that you haven't quite articulated, but maybe they're either a surface story or a shadow story about your book? Assumptions that may have not been exactly useful or facilitated your launching?
Well, I have a question.
Yes,
my name is. This is Igor Silvestar. I appreciate spending time with us today, David, and I've been to your other seminars. You've done a wonderful job. So I have a question. It's basically a chicken or the egg question in regards to sell a book, and maybe I'm jumping the gun. I'm sure you're going to cover it in your seminar. The book is sold by creating what is known as a platform, meaning you as a leader in your field have a platform. But somebody who is first writing a book or does not have a reputation or the name out there, how does that work? I mean, the publisher will not take you on because you don't have the ready audience. And you know, you get the audience by, you know, by being known. So it's a chicken or the egg story. Are you going to cover that in the seminar?
I definitely am, and that's a great question, and you're very right that platform is the key element of selling your book, and it's also the key element of your practice. So what we talk about in terms of what's going to benefit your book will also going to be the kind of things that will benefit your practice. So we will definitely be addressing that, and we're going to talk more explicitly about that in the fourth component, the business part of writing a book, because that's where that naturally fits. But we're going to be talking about some aspects of that before we get there. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to move into the more formal part of the seminar. I'm going to put us on lecture mode, but also I really want to be sure that you send any emails to me about any responses to any of these three questions. I welcome them very much. Hold on now, and we're going to go on lecture mode. We're first going to talk today about the art of writing. You see in your outline the quote from Van Gogh. If you hear a voice say, "I'm not a painter," then by all means paint. Then that voice will be silenced. So right now, here's something. This is your first exercise. I'd like you to take a moment to write the title of the book you intend to write, or that you're in the process of conceptualizing or writing. Just write down the title right now. A working title, it's not perfect, you're just writing down the title. Write down the title, and if you have it, the subtitle. Okay, write down something before we move on. Okay, let's talk about preparation now, the backstory. It's been said that just about every smart, sensitive person harbors a desire to write a book, because writing is a natural way for a contemporary person to learn, express, integrate, and really feel alive. More than 80% of adults in America say they want to publish, but not quite 1% actually do, and that includes articles, editorials, not just books. So first, decide if you have a message, a blog series, an article, or a book. A message is a written or spoken communication of an idea or point of view. An article can convey a message. A short series of blog posts can succinctly spread even a complex message. A nonfiction book builds a case, develops, and illustrates a theme. The book needs a story to hold its richness. It carries the reader along its course of reason, illustrating the applications. The story evolves an argument with complexity and depth. The irony, as Seth Godin points out, the market demands that you summarize your book in a blog post. Now, traditional advice has been to write about what you know, what you're expert at. Here's another more exciting and creative possibility, as you've already heard. Write to see what you have to say. Write about what you most want to learn or need. At a conference several years ago, when I was still practicing psychoanalysis, this is many years ago, I was talking with a friend who's an excellent clinician, a buddy of mine. As we discussed the paper that was just presented, I asked him when he was going to write a paper. He said, I'm going to wait until I'm sure I have something to say. Now, I knew at that moment that he would never present a paper at that or any other conference or write anything such as a paper or book. And in the 15 or 18 years this transpired, that's been true. Those of you who have trained or mentored with me know that not knowing anything has never stopped me from talking. Now, we're going to discuss how to write in a systematic, structured way for effective and successful results. We'll talk about what happens next when you schedule an appointment with yourself to write. As I mentioned, we're going to discuss the art, the craft, the science, and the business of authoring your book. In short, how to tell and sell your story. First, let's talk about commitment. A prerequisite is a commitment and a game plan. First, make sure your commitment and your game plan match. Now, think about it. You know the words of somebody who's not totally committed. I'll try, I should, I ought to, I want to, I know I need to. You know nothing's going to happen. Here are the words of someone committed. I will. One of the great philosophers of the 20th century said, try not, do or do not. There is no try. That was Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back. And think about the difference between a 99% commitment and a 100% commitment. Here's the Texas version of that. A fish has no use for a lake that has water 99% of the time. USA Today did a study on people who made New Year's resolutions. They had two groups, those who made a New Year's resolution and wrote it down, and those who made one but neglected to write it down. Of those who did not put their goal in writing, 4% kept their resolution. Those who wrote down their resolution, 44% kept it. Over a tenfold difference, just by writing it down. When you write down a commitment, it's important for follow-through. So first, write down your commitment to complete your book. Neuroscience teaches that the brain works like a travel agent. The first two questions a travel agent asks are, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? So program your brain to complete the book by a chosen date. Now, how really seriously or fervently do you want to tell and sell your story? One unknown author had a collection of heartwarming stories that he thought would make a good book, but he'd never done a book before. He shopped his idea to every publisher he could find. No success, but he was persistent. He shopped it to 141 publishers, and he was rejected by every one of them. He believed in the book, though, even though he was repeatedly told it wouldn't appeal to audience. So he decided to publish it himself and began selling out of the back of his car. It had a really unlikely title, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I personally heard Jack Canfield tell that story and have read it since. At last count, he's sold over 1.5 billion books. $1 billion worth of books. So think now about vision. And this is following your fairly annotated outline that you perhaps have downloaded already. So for vision, how do you write a book? Consider a related question. How do you find a yellow Jeep? I'd like you to do an exercise with me. Now, a few of you have done this. Get in a very relaxed position. Breathe in a couple of deep breaths of relaxation. Breathe out any tension. Close your eyes. I'd like you to visualize a yellow Jeep. Walk toward that yellow Jeep. As you walk all the way around it, notice the bumpers, the trim, the tires. Notice the body painted yellow. As you walk around to the headlights, notice the grill. As you get back to the driver's side door, reach out and open it and feel the cool metal in your hand. As you sit in the seat, notice how firmly and securely it holds you. Grab the steering wheel and grab it with a firm grip. Look out the windshield. Imagine yourself driving. As you turn it on, listen to the sound of the motor engaging. Feel the vibration. Smell the interior and get a feel of what that's like, all of your senses. Now, as you turn the Jeep off and get out, listen how soundly and firmly the door closes. As you walk away, look back at the Jeep to take in one more final impression. Now, open your eyes. I began with that exercise for a group of executives. There were 24 at the time who asked me to do a seminar on how to write a first book. So this was the first exercise I did for them, and I asked before I did the exercise, how many of them in the last month had seen a yellow Jeep? One out of the 24 people raised his hand. After I did the exercise, I asked them, if they happened to see a yellow Jeep in the next week, would they contact me by email or telephone? In the first 3 days, 22 of the 24 contacted me. They'd seen a yellow Jeep. So what happened? What we see, what appears on our radar screen, is determined by belief and assumption. The yellow Jeep was pre-programmed as possibility. The most common reason people don't write a book is they don't believe they can. Or if they do, they don't devise a specific plan and stick to it. It's the same reason people don't earn significant money and accumulate wealth. They don't see themselves as capable of it. I can tell you how much money people will make by listening to their assumptions. I can tell you whether somebody is going to complete a book by how they respond to the question, what are you going to write about? Once you genuinely see yourself completing your book, all sorts of things begin to happen. You've already coded your radar for writing your book, including listening right now. And then we'll discuss how to evolve that vision, because when you have a vision that you return to and repeat, you rewire your brain. You're creating a future memory to live into. The affirmations revise the software of your brain. So when you do that repeatedly, you are creating an end result that you just figure out ways to back into. Now, I'd like to do an exercise with you on choice. This exercise is based on the principle that it takes just as much energy to construct a negative belief as it does to construct a positive belief. Now, do this exercise with me. It's going to feel a little goofy, but I'd like you to do it anyhow. I'd like you to say two things out loud that you can't do. For example, and you can say this out loud because you're on lecture mode. You're on mute. For example, I can't finish this article I'm writing. I can't get the clutter out of my office. So right now, I'm going to pause. Say out loud two things you can't do. Okay, now secondly, I'd like you to restate each but substitute won't for can't, such as I won't finish this article I'm writing. I won't get the clutter out of my office. So restate it by saying won't. Now that you're aware of choice, I'd like you to say this sentence out loud three times. I am always free to change my mind. Say that out loud three times. Now that you're aware of choice, remember this. All you have to do in life is the next right thing. You may not always know what the next right thing is, but you almost always know what it is. You sit down at your appointed time to write your book. You can't think of anything. You don't get to go to the mall. You stay seated right there. And in adulthood, whatever we experience, we either create or accept. So once you begin thinking about your specific book, you begin to hear things in different ways. You begin to hear examples. You begin to think about stories. Incidents become vignettes. Ideas begin to crystallize. You think about what you want to say and become aware of how you want to say it. you become an even better listener, which makes you a better speaker. Now, a caveat here. No one ever sits down to write a book. If you did, you'd fail because you're not going to sit down and write a book. You may sit down to write a few sentences, maybe a page. Mozart never sat down to write an opera. He had a medley in his head and let it speak to him over time until the music emerged. But think about it this way. If you decide to write, whether that's for 30 minutes or for one page or 250 words, if you do that every day, then at the end of the year, you have 365 pages. That's also called a rough draft. Now, we'll talk about how to have that structured and strategic, but I want to talk about that in terms of all you have to do is the next right thing. This is another story a couple of you have heard. Terry Fox began the Marathon of Hope. It's a cross-Canada run of 3,339 miles. He was challenged because he had an artificial leg, so he ran with a shuffle and a hop. He managed to average 24 miles a day and finished the race in 143 days. He was immediately interviewed as soon as he finished the race, and the interviewer said, with thousands of miles ahead and being totally tired, how did you manage to do it? What did you do? He looked at her and said, I just went to the next telephone pole. And he did that all the way across Canada. Right one page. So let's talk about perseverance now. The most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to stick to it. Wisdom is to know the right path. Integrity is to take it. A clearly defined goal can capture imagination and inspire passion, can cut through the fog like a beacon in the night. One extra degree of effort in business and in life separates the good from the great. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach's Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to number 52. At 211 degrees, water's hot. One more degree and it boils. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done. And Lord Eliot put it very simply, perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another. So here are some guiding questions to begin to orient your thinking about your book. Three goals to clarify before you start writing. What do you want to write? What do you want to gain? And who do you want to reach? Who do you want to talk to, in other words? So here are some reflections to begin your first book. These are before you began your first chapter or your outline. And there are seven of these. Write for a specific preferred audience. Now, you may want everyone to read it. Remember how in the beginning of your coaching practice, you wanted to coach everybody, and it felt like an amputation to narrow it down to a very specific niche until it paid off? Two, envision your audience. Create a persona for the two or three prototypes of those who you will write for, and then speak directly to them. Whether you're visual, kinesthetic, auditory, it's always easier to speak to a specific person. Imagine who that is. I've never written anything that it wasn't for an intended audience or an intended person. And I'll tell you more about that later. Three, write a focused, compelling, understandable, and enjoyable conversation. That means it's going to sound like you. It's going to have your voice. Four, what is your aha, your good news? Five, what will your book do uniquely well, better than anything out there? Six, reach out for opinion molders and feedback, such as focus groups. It'll help you get focused. It'll help you stay on track. And seven, an initial step to create your book is to fully accept the reality of the process of writing and to evolve your identity as an author. I'll share a personal experience for that ladder that was pivotal for me. I was writing Making Memories, Reflections on Parenting from the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst. This was while I was practicing psychoanalysis. I went to an Iowa Summer Writers Conference, and I went there because a lot of the people whose work I followed had been there, and it seemed like a good thing to do. And I shared with my group my dilemma, since I was still practicing analysis. I wanted to write from my heart, but I needed to use examples from my experiences as a parent, but I didn't want to burden my present and future psychoanalytic patients with knowing too much about me personally. Psychoanalysts think they have to remain anonymous and be a blank screen onto which patients project themselves. So I got some immediate helpful feedback. When you're writing, you're not an analyst. You're not a father. You're an author. Therefore, write as your subtitle says, they told me, from your heart and your mind. Eight. Actually, there are more than I thought here. Eight. You are thinking and feeling a book into existence. Then you'll craft it into a powerful message with a memorable story. Nine. What you imagine guides your endeavor. You learn what your book is about by thinking and writing. It's organic. It's going to evolve. And 10, you get your book done well by willing yourself to plan, organize, think, revise, and at times tolerate confusion and uncertainty. The principle, do whatever it takes. Now, here's an exercise to address obstacles. Every one of us who writes has obstacles. And here's what I'd suggest. I wanted to develop this with you without you seeing the one-page form I'm going to send you, because I think it might have more meaning. First, I'd suggest schedule a brainstorming session with yourself to do this exercise, at least 30 minutes maybe. It's important for a would-be author to identify and address any obstacles that stand in the way of your project. For example, interfering self-talk, writer's block, anxiety about the unknown, feeling like you don't know enough, worrying about inexperience, concern about not having anything to say. There are any number of possibilities. So, on a clean page right now, make three vertical columns on that, three vertical lines on that page so that you have four columns. Title the far left column, Emotional Triggers. Title the second column, Usual Behavior. The third column, Mantra. M-A-N-T-R-A, and the fourth column, ideal behavior. So, for the first column, think about all of the emotional triggers that get you off track or set you into a cycle of rumination or negativity or stuckness, anything that creates a state change from being totally grounded and centered and immersed in a flow that is conducive with creativity and writing. For example, I've never written a book before, so I don't know how to do this. It's too much. I don't know where to start. Now, title, the second column, it's titled Usual Response or Usual Behavior. This is where you write your usual reaction to any trigger that you get in column one. So for each trigger, write your usual reaction. So if your trigger is, I've never done a book before, and it creates anxiety and you move into that altered state in the second column, then you find all kind of things to do. You restack the pencils on your desk, or you think about, any number. Think about what your usual trigger and your usual behavior is. Now, the third column, Mantra, is about getting grounded and centered. Mantra is three parts. A cue, which is simply a way to remind yourself to do the two things that are most powerful to change your state of mind, a focus and a physiology. And the focus can simply be a phrase that you repeat, such as relaxed and creative. and a couple of deep breaths in and out. It can take you a few seconds to get in state. And the ideal response is your creative state and to sustain that state of flow so that you can write. Now, an example, if you want a little bit more of a prompt and illustration of the third column, the mantra, there's a blog that I have at my website, mentorpath.com/blog, B-L-O-G. And look at the title in the archived titles that has mantra in it. There's a story and then a little bit more about how to develop that grounding and centering. I think it will be useful for all of your work, for your work as coaches, for your clients. And I'll send you that page. It's called Neuroconditioning Chart, because what you do when you move from the first column across to the fourth column, the ideal response, when you do it enough, it becomes the default mode. It becomes automatic. You're rewiring your brain, literally. Okay. Now, let's talk about the who, what, where, when, and how of writing. Who is it that you write for? Now, your most authentic answer is yourself. When you speak in writing, you do it to an intended audience. Who is your audience? If you can't identify specifically the audience you're going to address, the more specifically you envision that reader, the more specifically and meaningfully you'll be able to speak. John Updike put it this way: I write to the person a little to the left and below the center of Kansas. So one strategy is to envision a persona, a characterization of the ideal reader. Develop that persona fully. Who that person is, location, age, occupation, marital family status. By the time you develop two or three ideal personas of your intended audience, you have a very specific idea of who it is you're speaking to. Your conversation then comes alive as you talk to them. Make it easy to connect. Create a conversation, a community, people who are interested in what you have to say, and you're going to become more interesting and interested. The what? You got to respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. Be attuned to what someone else wants and needs. Beyond that, you have to be true to your own story. Who you are is your gift to your reader. Writing is not a special language. It's not a gift you were born with. Writing is thinking on paper. Anyone who thinks clearly should be able to write clearly if they edit enough and spend enough time editing. So here's a what exercise. Think before you write. Sit down and think about your idea before you begin to write about it. How will you move it from current vague idea to a rich three-dimensional book, a story? Think about what you'll write along these lines. What are you trying to communicate? What form should your book take? What chapter should it be divided into? What should go into each chapter? What would you draw from your experiences to enhance the book? And what research will you do to deepen its quality? And remember this, you're not in the business of finding readers for your words. You're in the business of finding words for your readers. Now, this is the process writers don't usually report and you don't usually see. The thinking part, the preparation. Writers in an interview say, the book just came out, just came to me. It doesn't happen that way. Writing is a creative process, but it's work. The only thing harder than writing is rewriting. The where. Decide where you'll write. Virginia Woolf emphasized the importance of having a room of one's own. Get your space ready. Protect it from intrusions and noise so that you can stay in the flow once you access that state. Put one or two things in there that will represent your commitment to writing. During the time that you commit to write, protect that space and time from intrusions. Unplug your telephone. Your answering service or voicemail will take care of message. There are a few true emergencies in life. Talking about your buddy, about who got kicked off American Idol last night, isn't one of them, at least not during the writing time. Guard your writing time to allow full immersion. protect your time because you'll have to pay for every yes with at least one no. When? Make an appointment with yourself. Choose a schedule for writing that you'll be loyal to no matter what. Everyone on earth has one thing in common. Our choices in life define us. Those who provide service to others, such as authors, money managers, therapists, leaders, teachers, coaches, especially parents, have their answers counted many times. What will yours be? Make it matter. Determine when you'll write. When I had a full psychoanalytic practice and saw a dozen people each day, plus teaching, people would ask me when I found time to write. My answer was to say as gently as possible that I never found time to write. I created time. I grew up on a farm and ranch and got up before the sun to feed cattle. Rising early is still a natural for me. During all my years of parenting, I still got up early on Saturday and Sunday morning and had 2 or 3 hours to write before my 2 kids woke up. By then, I was fully ready to turn off my dictaphone and roll on the floor with them or play outside the rest of the day. Again, during their adolescence, I could be totally available in order to be rendered insignificant. Decide what time of the day you write best. Know your biorhythms. Think about when you're most creative. Consider what may be a natural time to write and when you have most inclination to do things like editing. Different part of the brain, different time of the day, different state of mind. Writing and editing are best not combined. Decide when to do each. And here's my best piece of advice to you. Just start writing. Start simple. Start slow. Start now. Perhaps the most literate answer to the when question was offered over 900 years ago by Rashi, the great Torah commentator, who said, whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. How? Recognize your natural style of writing. Are you visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? Respect that style as you write. Some of you will do best visually, like at a keyboard when you see the words appear on a screen. If you're primarily an auditory person and a talker, use a dictation device. I've written all of my first drafts of every book, every paper, every white paper, most complex emails, by dictating them. And that way, I talk. I envision a person or audience to dictate to. It's natural for me because that's the way I spend my day, talking to people. Earlier, I did in therapy and analysis. Now I do in coaching. I no longer use a secretary to transcribe the dictation. I do it all on a digital recorder and upload it to idictate.com. And there's a link on my website if you want to get a quick access to that. And I have a name. Then I get the dictation sent back to me, transcribed, and I put it in piles, and I call the piles chapters. So if you think you do better at writing it longhand, get a lot of yellow pads, the one with the really thick backs, because that's going to make you a better writer when you have a really thick back to your yellow pad. At some point, though, instead of typing out, you may want to dictate from those yellow pads. Consider also your work and performance styles. Those elements aren't talked about as much, but I think they're really useful in writing as well as in coaching. You'll find a paper on that subject in the articles section of my website, MentorPath. It's called Toward Brain Hardware Optimization. Now, one suggestion, whenever you have an idea, even if it doesn't come during your specified writing time, write it down. Capture it. Get it into typed form. Research on memory tells us that a new idea or fact lasts an average of 40 seconds in short-term memory unless you write it down to review. After that, it's gone. Haven't you had the experience of having a really great phrase, a really catchy word to say, or think, I'm sure I'm going to remember this later, and later comes, and it's not there. One principle we know from coaching, when people are asked what they intend to do, and that's why I asked you the question at the beginning of this seminar, when people are asked what they intend to do, they're more likely to act according to how they answer. When you ask people the day before an election if they intend to vote, it increases the probability of their going to vote by 25%. In a study of 40,000 subjects, the question was, do you intend to buy a new car? being asked the question increased purchase rates by 35% over the next 4 months. Another factor that increases the likelihood of desirable behavior is asking people whether they intend to eat certain foods or diet or exercise. One of the basic steps in coaching, remember, is to make sure each session includes framing an action plan for the next week that the client intends, commits to do. So, your commitment to yourself. Write down your who, what, where, when, and how. Specifically address your intention and plan. Make an appointment with yourself and keep it with the same loyalty that you do an appointment with your doctor, your dentist, your CPA, your attorney. Writing doesn't come about through inspiration. It happens when you decide to sit down and write. Larissa Pinkola Estes said, to be ourselves causes us to be exiled by many others, and yet to comply with what others want causes us to be exiled from ourselves. A word about creativity. There is a natural, innate energy inside each of us to create. When we open ourselves to our creativity, we allow our internal experience to flow through whatever channels are natural. Words, pictures, movement. Creativity is a natural part of life. Our brains are wired to reward creativity. With an aha moment, three different parts of our brain light up and we're vaulted into a more creative, synthetic, integrated state of mind. When we have a creative idea, two different exciting neurochemicals are released that vault us into that state and into wanting to sustain that creativity. So, this is important. As you begin the process of your book, don't compare your inside with somebody else's outside. Somebody else's outside may be a complete book. And when you pick up the book to read it, it's going to seem daunting. That author didn't begin with that complete book. He or she began with an idea, then crafted a few lines, and then reworked it again and again. Now, a great deal of thinking and a great deal of reading are required to write a book. Writers, in discussing their books after they're published, usually omit or minimize the amount of work that went into completion of books. And that's kind of natural. We tend to idealize the past and not remember the painful aspects as much. We call it a nostalgia bias. We minimize the amount of work that went into completion. Nostalgia is remembering not as it was, but as better than it was. Airbrushed memories set on an idealized stage. So when we compare our inside, our hoped-for book, with somebody else's outside, a completed published book, we don't take into account the true scope of the work. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Now, again, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences. You sit down for an hour at your desk and stay there at the time you decide to commit to writing, just in case some random string of words occur to you, or some expression that you create or need to capture. Some writers set a quota for the day, 250. It's a full double-spaced page. So here are 10 caveats for writers that I want to conclude with, because I want to have discussion if there are questions or comments. 10 caveats for writers. One, the most important thing about a plan is to have one. The second most important thing about a plan is to stick to it. And that's all you need. You do not need to be motivated. You only need a plan and to stick to it. Two, write every day. It will help you think like a writer. Three, read every day. It will help you think like a writer communicating to a reader. Four, write in a voice that sounds like you. Writing is not a contest. Writing is a transaction between two people, you and the reader. So, sound like yourself and be yourself. If you don't say indeed, don't write it. If you don't say one would think, then don't write it. Five, use language simply and warmly. you'll be able to make any subject clear by reducing it to good English. A clear, simple sentence is no accident. 6, how you write will be how you're perceived. Your writing may be your only way to introduce yourself to someone whose business, trust, affection, or money is what you want. 7, let me tell you a total sidebar here. I met my wife 14 years ago, about 2 years after my divorce, at a writer's conference. We met, we talked, and she was interested in some of the stuff I wrote. I sent her the book that I mentioned about parenting. She said she fell in love with me by reading that book. We got married 2 years later. 7, keep the burden of clarity. Writing is about creating meaning. Rewriting is about crafting meaning to make it optimally useful and accessible to the reader. Plan from the beginning to keep the burden of the clarity of communication. Don't shift it to the reader or listener. In this way, you maintain ownership of the responsibility to your reader. Think about how you've been in a presentation or read something. It's a little bit too much work or somebody's not quite clear. What do? You either vote with your feet, put it down, and go off somewhere, or space out and figure out what you're going to have for dinner that night. Keep the burden of clarity yourself, and you'll keep the engagement with the reader. 8, have the end in mind from the beginning. In the film The Lookout, Lewis, the blind guy, helps his mentally challenged roommate make sense of things by thinking of his day as a story. Lewis said, start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going. 9, take some positive action toward your goal every day, even if it's just one. At the end of the month, you'll have 30 completed actions. If you just write 2 paragraphs a day, you'll have 60 paragraphs. And that's a bunch. That's a West Texas literary term. 10, decide what you want. Believe it's possible. A belief is a filter between reality and our perception. A belief is the mind's command to the brain, the software program that determines our behavior. We now know that beliefs can actually turn genes on or turn them off. Highlight this equation in your outline. Beliefs drive behavior. Behavior drives performance. You can change your life by changing your beliefs. Remember I asked you at the very beginning, what is your belief about the book you want to write? Our possibilities are only limited to the ones we allow ourselves to see. So here's a final story. A destitute young housewife had almost no money. A book idea came to her when she was on a train, but she didn't have a pen. She was so shy, she wouldn't ask for a pen, so she forgot some of the initial parts of her story. She couldn't afford a babysitter or a computer, but she had a story to tell, and she was determined to do it. She decided to write. As soon as she began writing, her mother died at age 45 from multiple sclerosis. Her marriage to an abusive husband ended in a divorce. Shortly after that, she had a miscarriage. And after that, she got fired from her job and lived on government welfare. She took her baby to a coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon and wrote on a legal pad while her baby napped. She did that every day, 7 days a week, for 4 years. And then, after much work, she finally found a publisher for Harry Potter. And her last book sold 11 million copies in the first hour. So, I conclude with this exercise for you to do in the next 24 hours. Sketch 2 things. Draw it out. And don't say you can't draw. Just sketch it out, okay? Just do it. Sketch 2 things. 1, the cover of your book that includes the title, the subtitle, and your name as author, and anything else you want to sketch on it. Two, sketch that book on a shelf at a Barnes & Noble or a local independent bookstore or on a table at the back of the room where you present. Put that book in a context of a bookshelf or a table. Make that your second sketch. Okay, we've got just a few minutes. We're in discussion mode now. I'm interested in thoughts or questions any of you have. And again, if you'll manage the background noise, your responses or questions or clarifications. Anyone?
Hey, Dave. This is Vicki.
Yes. I'm sorry, this is who?
Vicki.
Welcome. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Before I lose you, because I was trying to write everything down you were saying as we were going, how do I get a hold of you or on your website to find out about the dictation part?
Okay. Go to my website, www.mentorpath.com. It's in my signature line of the emails that I sent to remind you guys of the seminars and to give you the link for where you download the outline and do the playback. Okay, go to that website, and on the home page, about two-thirds of the way down on the right, there's a little bar called Referral Resources.
Okay.
Click that, and then there's a link at Referral Resources for the dictation where you can go directly to sign up for it. It obviates two or three steps doing it that way. It's,
gotcha.
It's, I dictate, but it's a link to go directly to sign up.
Okay, awesome. Oh, okay.
Okay,
so you're so that's your... That's your website, mentorpath.com?
Yes, exactly.
That's you?
There's a library
there.
You can see some of the books and that sort of thing.
Okay, awesome.
Well, thank you,
Vicki.
Who else? Other thoughts or questions or clarifications?
David, I would like
yes.
to – this is Igor Silverstar.
Okay.
I would like to comment on a couple of things that –
Would
that
you keep
said.
Your mouth – close in the same distance to your little mouthpiece so that I can hear you clearly and everybody else can hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
A little bit louder, a little bit closer if you can.
Okay, a little bit closer. All right, how is this?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to, not that you need that, but to confirm a couple of things that you said. I'm an architect.
Can you do it not on speakerphone? Can you take yourself off speakerphone and do it directly into the phone?
All right, just a second. Okay, how is this?
Way better. Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I apologize. I'm an architect by training, and just to say that about 6 years ago with nothing to do, I was just curious about writing. I couldn't write one dialogue. And I just started to do what you said. I started to write. I have no training in literature whatsoever. And before I knew it, I had a 300-page book. So what you're saying is very true. And another thing that I did do is actually being good at drawing. I did do exactly that. I sketched my book on the shelf among other bestsellers in Barnes & Noble. It hasn't happened yet, but the thing is I have been writing ever since, and I feel that within this year I will have a book published. So I appreciate you sharing this with us.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. We're going to go through some steps in addition to the art, which is what we talked about today. Next time we're going to talk more about the craft and how to organize that, and then look at the science of how really to put it together and go through the steps of making a complete story and then the business of it. So, yeah, we're going to develop this further. And thanks for mentioning that. I'm glad that that's worked for you, and that's a great way to start, just to start. Excellent. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Igor.
You're welcome.
We've got maybe a minute. Anyone else, thoughts, questions, or clarification?
Thousands of questions, but you'll get them all at the end.
Okay. Was there a question there?
No. I'm just saying I have thousands of them, but it'll all get there.
Pick the best one and answer it now, and I'll try to do my best, which is not my long suit, a big brief.
I started this book three times. It's basically my story, my own personal story of going through a divorce, and that's who I life coach, are divorced women. So I've got my target area down. I know it's pretty much women over 50, long-time marriages, being divorced, all of that betrayal and all that good stuff and how to get through it. My big thing is I keep starting in different ways, keep wondering, like, well, should I focus on this or should I focus on that? So I've just got to focus in on how I actually want to tell this and do it.
Okay, my suggestion is that each time you stop and ask, what should I write about, the first step is stopping, and that keeps you, that takes you out of the flow. So the problem is not what you write about. The problem is getting out of the flow. So I would say stay in the flow and write about what comes to you. You can decide then well into the process if you have a journal, if you have a diary, if you have a memoir, or if you have a nonfiction self-help book where you do stories that are taken from various places, including your own.
Oh, I understand.
So
okay, I get what you're
get
saying.
In
yeah.
and stay. This is from Seminar 3, but get in the state that is creative, sustain that state, and create within that state instead of stopping to move to from the playing field to the observer's platform to say, well, what should I write about? Just keep
right.
writing.
Okay.
Now, we're
going
to talk next time about how to craft that around an outline and how to have a guideline. In other words, for Terry Fox to know to go to the next telephone pole, you had an idea of where you're going to end up and to follow the telephone pole. So you had the idea with every step is to have a goal. Then every step is successively approximating that goal. Okay, well, thanks very much. I look forward to picking up with you next time. Any responses to any of those three questions or all of them, send them to me in an email. I appreciate it, and it will help me fashion some of my responses and discussion. So thanks for those of you who have, and I welcome anyone else responding. Bye.
Thank you, David.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.